What is going on, crypto family? So hey, me and the dog had a great time interviewing Fan, the co-founder of Conflux. Hopefully you'll enjoy it as well. He's trying to solve some problems in the blockchain space. Please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam. All right, so now that that's out of the way, let's get into this. What is going on, crypto family? So today I'm coming to you from one of my houses. I didn't have a chance to get to the studio, but I didn't want to leave Fan hanging. Fan is the co-founder of Conflux. So thanks so much for taking the time to tell us about all the cool stuff you're doing.
Hi, Vito. Thank you to bring me to this channel.
Awesome, man. So you're in Toronto right now?
Yes, I'm in Toronto right now. I'm also an assistant professor at University of Toronto. So semester is going. I'm teaching courses, doing research, supervising students. Yeah, so that's why I'm in Toronto.
So a really smart guy. I like it. So what is it that you're an assistant professor in? What subject matter?
So, well, of course, I mean, the big category of computer science. My research focus was mostly on distributed systems, programming languages, securities, a lot of areas. I think most of areas that are related to blockchain, maybe with the exception of cryptography, I'm all in, right? So I'm not a cryptographer, you can think as a system builder.
Yeah, no, a lot of that stuff kind of goes hand in hand, right? So when you think creating a blockchain and then, you know, being an assistant professor, if it was in subject matter like anatomy or something, I would think, I don't know. It looks good on paper, but it sounds to me like your background and what you're teaching is pretty relevant to blockchain. So that's awesome. You don't see that all the time.
Well, actually, I think blockchain, you can think is as an intersection of many areas. It has cryptography, it has game theory, but most importantly, it's a distributed system, and you have to build the system out in the right way, in a principled way. And also when people are writing smart contract programs and their programming languages aspect inside, which is also one of my research expertise.
It's awesome, man. All very related stuff. What initially got you into crypto? How'd you get bit by the bug? When did you find out about crypto?
Oh, well, because I was doing research in the relevant field. So it's kind of like a mysterious forces that eventually pushed me there, right? So after I finished my PhD at MIT, I spent some time back to China, and when I was visiting my friends in Tsinghua University, we say, here's a nice idea about the scalability is a problem in blockchain, so maybe we should do a research on how to solve that problem. Thinking about research collaboration, maybe lead to a research paper, some research project. And then we finish that, and it leads to it's a sequence of events. It gets attractions from VC friends, and then more people join, and we just decide, okay, we want to maybe turn that into a real project rather than a research project and just ideas in paper. So that gets me to. So I think the research project was started like 2 years ago, and then the things just accelerating out of my initial expectation was
gotcha
out of my control.
So a couple of years ago, you do some research, you check out blockchain, you write some papers, and then you think, hey, I can do this and I can do it better. So what is it that what's Conflux doing, right? So you guys have your own blockchain. What is it going to do that's say better than, you know, Ethereum?
What we are doing is to take a principled approach to design redesign the blockchain end-to-end from the perspective of we want a high-performance chain, but in the same time, we don't want to sacrifice any characteristics that defines what is a blockchain, right? So those characteristics include security, also include decentralization. So that requires us to actually push the limit of what a computer can do. So if you think about what a normal computer can do, right? Nowadays, our computers are very powerful. I mean, I'm sitting in front of a MacBook Pro, and think about that MacBook Pro, and given our current network infrastructures, we could send and receive megabytes of data per second, and our SSD should be able to read and write, I would say, 20,000 operations per second, and we have a very powerful CPU. That means all of this points to we should not only just being able to process, let's say, 7 or 10 or 15 transactions per second. I mean, if you just leave, those computers on their own to process, do whatever computation that is written in the smart contracts, they can do 1,000 per second. That's what they could do, checking various signatures, doing update on blockchain state. It's just a sequence of design. It's not saying design flaws. It's just, okay, initially we are not thinking about these problems. We're just designing a straightforward way that leads to bottlenecks at a various level. Like, there are consensus problems and consensus protocol. After that, there are also system problems to prevent you to do from doing that. So I think to view it, if we say Conflux, what Conflux is working on is to, so we want to make the blockchain still something everyone can join, but we want it's a blockchain that can use your computer power properly, not being wasted, and make it only be able to process slow transactions. So we are trying to hit thousands of transactions per second, confirm stuff in half a minute without sacrificing any decentralizations or security.
Gotcha. So it's all about speed. And then talking about using the computation powers of our computers, now, is it going to, like, say, for instance, like, I'm on a MacBook Pro right now. Mm-hmm. Say I got a bunch of programs running in the background. I like to, you know, surf the web, do whatever. Is it really going to be using all the computation power of this MacBook running Conflux? Or is that just kind of like a figure of speech? Because I don't want to be crashing my computer, you know what I mean?
Well, I understand, right? So, I mean, just like all of the remaining blockchains, well, you can always run in a different mode, right? Just sure. Like there's always a lightweight mode that will make sure you will not be cheated by anyone in the blockchain. You still have a verification power to make sure the information you receive, but it does not require any resources.
So as far as the chain, I mean, what you guys are going for here is, again, you know, lots of transactions per second. What's the ecosystem going to be like for dApps, for developers? You know, right now you've got a ton of people that are working with Ethereum. You know, you got Solidity developers, and then you have, you know, maybe EOS and a couple others. What's like the really big, you know, value proposition to bring those dApps over to Conflux? What can you all do for them that they can't get over there other than just, you know, the high speeds?
I think, first of all, if you think what could be put on the blockchain or what you need always to look at as a cost of reaching consensus and the value that the consensus bring, right? So, well, because of the speed limit of Ethereum, every transaction costs roughly like $0.50 to $1, depending on whether the network is congested or not. So that means whatever application you're running on it, per transaction value should be way more than that, like three order magnitude more than that, to justify the use of Ethereum, right?
Sure.
You're saying the average user to value, the transaction value is only $10. So no one's going to pay to one transaction, $1 transaction fee for it.
Unless you're using Bitcoin, then to send, you know, like $5 of Bitcoin, you need like $10 to pay for it.
Yeah, then in most congested network. Yes, exactly. So this actually governs what kind of applications you can see in a blockchain. And that's actually, it's the reason why Ethereum you only see beside, well, previously a lot of ICO tokens and then gambling and then now there are some sorts of decentralized finance. Because only those applications can justify the cost, right? I mean, those kind of applications tend to have the heavy value per byte to justify the cost of sending for Ethereum. So what we would think is higher, a truly decentralized one would be able to bring down the cost and therefore enabling more kinds of decentralized app. I mean, if you think about it, almost every internet business evolves around create a platform to facilitate a trade, right? Like Alibaba has a Taobao platform, and we have Amazon, which is a trading platform nowadays. And so it's like there's a lot of this kind of platform, and a lot of those could be translated into blockchain fashion to say, well, we could have a blockchain. If the transaction's cost is lower enough, you could have Uber backed by blockchain, right? You're sending information to the blockchain, and the blockchain do the match. And that will be more fair. By the way, I mean, for example, the Chinese version of Uber, Didi, has been attacked a lot by Chinese citizens for being charging secret prices. And they're being, they have the monopoly power, right? So they have are in the position of capable of doing that. The blockchain backed ones will not. So if you think about that, higher speed will bring down the cost and in turn enabling more stuff. And we are immediately focusing on what we are working on, immediately focusing on areas that Ethereum have been experiencing some sorts of trouble in terms of speed. For example, decentralized exchanges. Those kind of areas where higher speed will definitely help out, improve the user experience. And if you think about decentralized finance, right? I mean, having a on-chain decentralized exchange is kind of necessary, because if there's no way to automatically liquidate some asset, then you won't have a totally automated decentralized finance.
As far as the blockchain itself, do you guys use kind of like a coin and token system similar to Ethereum? So for instance, if you wanted to send a Monarch token, that's an ERC-20 token, you have to have Ethereum in your wallet to pay the network. Does Conflict work?
That's a part that we are going to change. And that's a part that we really don't like about Ethereum. If you think about it, blockchain is a service, just like Amazon EC2. It does not make sense. For example, you host your website, right? It's not the visitors of your website paying 2 cents to Amazon every time they click the mouse. It's you paying Amazon, and then maybe you're running ads or something and getting that back, right? So this is something that really hurts user experience about blockchain. So we want to change that, and we want to give DApps or whatever contracts running on Conflux an option to opt in to pay instead of, paying for the user up to a certain limit to they can set up rules to defend against potential denial of service, just having tons of bots to requesting. Of course, they want to stop that, but they can set up rules up to a certain limit they will pay for normal users.
Gotcha. And then what's live right now? What can people use with Conflux?
Conflux is now on beta testnet, public testnet for already 8 months. And we are keep iterating. So right now I think everyone can access the testnet. And the interesting thing, one thing we're experimenting is actually there are a lot of people. Conflux is a community-driven project. I mean, at least there are a lot of community members participating, helping us to make it real. So we have an experiment of, in our testnet, sign up a ERC-20-like token we call it FC, to record kind of contributions that a community member did so that we could give out some reward when the mainnet launches.
Gotcha. And right now in your testnet, in beta, what speeds are you guys able to achieve? How many transactions per second?
Well, we already achieve the desired speed, and we have done that experiment amount of times, which is we can get 3,000 to 4,000 transactions per second constantly.
Across.
We can replay. We download the first 7 months of Ethereum transaction history, and then replay that real transaction histories on Conflux with in like 30 minutes. So
gotcha. In the 3,000 transactions per seconds, how many nodes?
Yeah, the average ones will be 30,000 transactions. Yeah. So in our replay experiment, we have the largest scale we have tried is 200 nodes. And we have the plan is before we officially launch Mainnet, we want to have a community event of inviting more people, bring their laptop, as long as their laptop hits a minimum bar of not like a MacBook Air, maybe at least something like a desktop or MacBook Pro, and then bring them act as a full node. We want to invite at a scale of roughly 1,000 people joining across globe to have a ceremony on the test before we confidently launch the mainnet.
Awesome. I'll bring my Commodore 64. I'll break it out of the garage, dust it off.
Oh, that's great.
the old artifact. That's awesome. So what about you, man? What do you do when you're not working, when you're not teaching, when you're not building blockchains? What do you do for fun?
Well, I think the teaching research and the Conflux have consumed almost all my life. Well, in my meantime, I may play some video games, but I don't do that too often nowadays.
what's your favorite video game?
I used to play those action-driven games like Dota or like things like that. But when I was getting older, I just feel like I can't compete with them at the same level. So now I retreat back to play something that only require think, right? Card game, those kind of stuff, which don't need you to react in 2 seconds or 0.2 seconds.
Gotcha. Yeah, your transaction speed has to be a lot faster for some of the shooter games.
Yeah, for some reason. Yeah, so I think another thing, so because you speak about an application, about a Conflux of the future, I think another thing, which is an opportunity for Conflux, is I think the recent change from Chinese side on how they view the blockchain. And we've received a lot of support from actually official channels. I think from the government perspective, they do see it's beneficial, for example, to have a public chain that is developed by people they have more connections with. Let me put it this way. I'm in Canada, but they may feel closer to me than VB. So
don't you think they'll just wait? They'll just wait till you all build something really cool on the public chain, and then they'll just copy and make it their own.
Well, they understand that. I mean, they understand that the public chain is like OS platform, right? You need the ecosystem around it.
Sure.
And I think what I'm saying is one interesting development in China is the government starts to willing to put support on building such ecosystem.
Sure.
And they view that as, they view it as a unique opportunities to. So I think that's a potential another plus we could use to our advantage. For example, recently Conflux has formed an agreement with the Shanghai government. We will fund the research together from the research lab in Shanghai, focusing on developing technique for public chain, for permissionless public chain. So that's big. It's never done before because in the past, Chinese government think, okay, blockchain, especially public chain, something evil, decentralization, you know. But they're changing, and they are willing, that's the first, and this is actually the first time that the Chinese government willing to support research for public chain, permissionless public chain effort.
It's awesome, man. I know when President Jinping went out and said that basically China's going blockchain. They're going to have their own crypto. Obviously moved the price of Bitcoin up. Instilled a lot of hope in people in China because they were afraid that it was just going to be a total ban. So them embracing blockchain, you know, kind of speaks volumes. And then you working with them and, you know, they're in Shanghai. That's pretty incredible as well, man. So it sounds like you got a lot of talents. Do you have any other talents outside of blockchain? What's some kind of hidden talent that a fan has that maybe your teammates don't know? Maybe your significant other doesn't know.
Well, I can't say I've been like a hidden talent. I have a lot of talent. I only have the talent probably people know, which is I enjoy coding, and I've been like a coding since I was 5, and I like participate like programming contests when I was high school, won like international awards. So that's sort of like something I still enjoy to do. And that's sometimes I just feel like coding is fun, and I just enjoy it.
Yeah, they just, I know in China, they just had a couple of those hackathons, you know, where they were able to exploit, like, I think, I forget exactly how many different places, but Chrome, and I think different parts of Google, a couple of Safari, Firefox, a bunch of things were exploited. That was pretty cool that they were able to do that. And then it also helps those companies patch those bugs. So that was pretty cool. But I was looking forward to like maybe hearing that you can play the electric guitar, or maybe you're maybe a disco dancer, or you have some kind of hidden talent, man. You know,
unfortunately, you hit boring people. I think all the talents I could say is I enjoy playing video games, and I frequently make myself to Hearthstone Legendary. Besides that, I have nothing to say.
That's awesome, man. Well, I guess, you know, coding at your level is probably more than enough for most people. What about books, man? You got a favorite book, something you read that changed your life that you think other people should read as well?
Well, I must admit, I haven't read a book. Nowadays, I only read papers.
Lines of code.
Yeah, papers, code, and that consumes all of my life.
What about movies? Have you watched any movies, you know, when you're growing up, or maybe now? What's your favorite one? One that's significant for you?
I really enjoy the Avengers. I mean, that's what I'm saying. The last series of Avengers is fantastic.
Yeah. That was pretty sad, man, when Tony Stark died.
That's not expected, but I think the whole, I mean, for some kind of, I mean, the Avengers is a long series, and for some part I don't like it just because I feel like some plot is kind of made fake in some sense, but I feel like the last one is really fantastic, and
I loved Fat Thor. Remember when Thor got fat? Yeah. drinking beer. Yep, just drinking beer, eating ice cream. Yeah, pretty cool. Mm-hmm. All right, last question for you, man. If you had a time machine, so you got a time machine, and you can go forward in time or you can go back in time, as far as you want, backwards or as far forward as you want, but you have to stay there. Okay. When and why? So you can go to tomorrow. You can go 2,000 years in the future, in the past, but you got to stay there. Where would
I think I will skip that chance if I have to stay there, because I feel like I'm doing important things. I have to keep on right now.
That's awesome. So you would just
if I don't have to stay there, I would actually maybe travel in future to see what the kind of changes blockchain could bring and go back to implement them.
Exactly right. So once you know how everything turns out, then go back and, you know, kind of place your bets, right?
Yeah, exactly.
That's awesome. Well, Fan, it was great hearing your story, man. We'll make sure that we get the links out to Conflux so people can find you. Appreciate you, buddy. So thanks again.
All right. Thank you for the interview. That's nice.
Cool. Well, God bless. We'll catch you on the next one. Hey, welcome back, everybody, and a big thanks to Fan. Appreciate you coming on and telling us all the stuff that you're trying to do. Me and the dog had a great time. Just a friendly reminder, Crypto Beetle shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beetles and his guests. Robert Beetles is the co-founder of the Monarch Wallet. host of Trading View Sessions, Crypto Beatles on YouTube, and owns several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beatles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. Please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the family. All right. God bless you. Love you. Till the next one. Talk to you soon.